Appreciate the good prayer and the good song that was led. And as I often think about, that just sets the tone for our Bible study to be interested in spiritual things. So I think we'll get through this material before the end of this quarter. We'll see. We ended last time on page 25. We finished that point. And one point that was made about the gospel was, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to those who are lost. What's the rest of that passage say? And whom the
God of this world hath blinded the minds of them.
Yeah, and whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them. And so, the gospel is a simple message. That's not to say there's not difficult things that are to be understood in the Bible. We know that there are some difficult things, but by and large, the gospel message is simple. And most people don't have a problem understanding what the gospel message is. But there's a lot of reasons why many times people don't believe. And there's reasons why the gospel has been hidden to the eyes of those that are lost.
Yeah, that was this morning on your radio program. It was such a good point. You walked through the kingdom and existence of it now and laid that out so plainly. But just like this, God does not hide his word from us. And we are not lost because he's hid from us. It's us. It's our fault that it is hid because we failed to seek it out in truth with an open heart.
And that's
right. Your message this morning with Ethan or on the radio is such a good message for people because it explained to them, go to the Word. It's hid to you right now because you listen to other men, but go to the Word and it will not be hidden.
Yeah, I appreciate that too, Mark. That we have God's revealed Word. The mind of God has been revealed. We talked about some things a man doesn't know. Me and Sal talked a little bit more about that after the Bible class. God has only seen fit to give us what he saw was necessary for us. And who knows what all things have not been revealed to us, known only unto God. So we are on number 29, on page 26 of your book. And this comes from Revelation chapter 22. And then verse 18, thank you. I was going to say 18 and 19, then I noticed I've got 19 on both those points. So we'll take it as a constant reminder of imperfection. That's okay. And make note of that in your book. In Revelation 22, 18, if someone read that nice and loud for us.
For I testify to every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book.
Amen. So, God's glad to give him the plague that was written in this book. Good. Appreciate that, Sam. This book. I like that passage in Revelation 22, 18 and 19 to show people that we dare not add to or take away from God's Word. But we need to qualify that, lest someone says, well, you've taken that out of context. We do need to point out that the context of that is specifically talking about this book, which would be the book of Revelation. And so he's getting to the end of the book, and he gives that sweet invitation in verse 17 that is among the best Bible invitations. Let whosoever will come and take of the water of life freely, verse 17. And then he gives a prohibition against adding and subtracting from God's Word. So if any man add unto the words of the prophecy of this book, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And it has eternal consequences, because one of the things wrote in the book of Revelation, in Revelation 20, 12 through 15, is the fact that those who are not written in the Lamb's book of life will be what? Lost. Cast into the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. We don't want to go there. And so if we didn't care about the souls of others, why preach? Just obey and don't say another word. And if we didn't care about other people, that's closed book. I mean, why sign up to teach a quarter of a Bible study if I didn't care about other people? Why hold a gospel meeting if I didn't care about other people? It'd just be much easier to obey the gospel, be concerned about self, and just stay at home. Go to service on Sunday, Wednesday. Just don't share it. That'd be much easier, but we don't want to do it. We want to go to heaven and want others to go as well. From the pen of the wise man. Well, let me back up. After I made this point in your book that the prohibition is specifically the book of Revelation, the principle applies to the entirety of God's Word. Because, and we just don't make that up, and it's not that it's necessarily implied in the text. But we know so because of other passages that prohibited adding to and subtracting from the Word of God. From the pen of the wise man, it is recorded, Proverbs 30, verse 6, what you put in those blanks? Add thou not to his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. That's strong language. No one likes to be called a liar. But we'll be found a liar, according to the wise man, if we add into his words and he reprove thee. Oh, and the reality is that a lot of people add to his word today. And a lot could be said about that for the sake of time. Old Testament Jews were told, ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, Deuteronomy 4 and then verse 2. In a similar statement, Deuteronomy 12, 32, what things soever I command you, observe to do it, thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from, which we'll talk about in just a moment. So God said, here's what I want you to do. Here's the instruction that I'm giving you. And your responsibility is don't add to it and don't take away from it. Well, sometimes individuals say, well, God didn't specify, therefore I can add to it, because silence, in the eyes of a lot of people, silence authorizes or gives liberty to the doing of something. And that's not so. Rather than silence authorizing the practice of something, what does silence do? That's exactly right. It prohibits or forbids the doing of something, because when God specifies something, you can't add to it and you can't take away from it. And so if I say that silence authorizes something, in other words, God did not specifically say thou shalt not, then what I'm doing then is adding to what he has specified. Now, we won't do that generally in life. We understand that very simple principle. I like the example, if you go to a restaurant, you go through the drive-thru, and you say you want a number one with cheese or whatever the case may be. And you get to the window and they say, sir, that'd be $539. And they begin to hand you everything on the menu. And you say, well, hold on, I just said that I wanted number one with cheese. And they said, but hold on, you didn't say thou shalt not give me a number two. Thou shalt not give me a number three. So we understand that my silence did not authorize. My silence prohibited everything else. And we see that general principle in the Bible, not to go too far from our study. But going back to probably what is the best example, most well known to everybody, would be what example in the Old Testament where when God specified, it prohibited the doing of anything else. Leviticus chapter 10 verses 1 and 2. That's not the example I was thinking of, even though that is a good example. But probably one that's even most well known, brought to most people. A lot of people are not going to know about Nadab and Abihu if they're not a good student of the Bible. But generally speaking, most people know the example of the ark. Most people heard about Noah and about the flood and about gopher. I have no idea if you put a piece of gopher wood in front of me what it looks like. I don't know. But God specified to, here's my point, God specified to Noah, thou shalt make thee an ark of gopher wood. I don't know what it looked like, but I know that did not authorize him to use oak, pine, cedar, and the list just goes on and on. God didn't have to say, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Thou shalt not use oak. Thou shalt not use pine. Thou shalt not use cedar. Noah understood when God specified, his silence on everything else prohibited its use. Because God said what to use. I know I'm talking to a room full of people that already get that point. But a failure to get that very simple, basic Bible study rule will get us in trouble with God. Get us in hot water when it comes to our Bible study. Because you come to the New Testament, you begin to think that simply because God did not specifically prohibit the doing of something, you've just authorized a whole host of things. I mean, the door doesn't... Where are you going to close the door? And it's okay to use, I don't know, cherry juice and lemon cake for the Lord's Supper? I mean, after all, he didn't say use unleavened bread and fruit of the vine, which is grape juice. But thou shalt not use lemon cake. Thou shalt not use pineapple upside down cake. One of my favorites. Kathy's very good at that. And the list goes on. Because we understand when God authorized something, he specifically stated his silence on the rest prohibited that. Now, one other point before we move on, because a lot of times this gets brought up. Someone says, okay, but if his silence prohibits doing something, then what about Mark, for example, Mark 16, verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Or they might try to use the Great Commission, Matthew chapter 28. The Lord said, go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So where do you get, or Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, the coming together of ourselves. So where do you get the authority then for a pitch pipe? Where do you get the authority then for a building? Where do you get the authority then for your songbooks or the pews? Or the trays that the Lord's Supper is served in. Not just use Mark 16, 16, Matthew 28 because of going and believing in baptism. But so what about those things? God didn't say thou shalt use a church building. God didn't say thou shalt use a pitch pipe. God did not say thou shalt use. So if what he says prohibits, then how do you justify the using of things that I've just mentioned? Because I know you know this, but you have to show them a difference between two things. What is it?
Fulfilling a commandment.
Yeah, things necessary in fulfilling a commandment. How about, for start, differences between aids and additions? Some things are just in line with what Mark said. Some things are just aids that help us in fulfilling or keeping the commandment, while other things are clearly an addition to the Word of God.
It's necessary emphasis is implied to carry out the command.
Yeah. Yeah, things that are necessary. And so it's very general. In other words, when he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, the specific command is to what? To go. But generally, how might one go? Paul, in Bible days, you think about, you don't have to talk about 2024, but think about in Bible times how people went. We read about people walking, chariot, boat, donkey, horse. Exactly.
And because these things are to help us to get through a service.
That's right. Good point. Just simply simple aids to help get the job done. And you think about it, if we was commanded to sing, but someone says you don't have authority for a song leader. Well, okay, how's that going to work? And no, we don't have to sing on pitch. We don't have to. But that is just simply an aid to help us get the job done. Just like this, the building. There's a building, by the way, authorized. How do you know?
Acts 20, verse 7, the disciples came together. It doesn't specify where, but we know they came together. They had to have a place to meet.
Yeah, that's right. Coming together, Hebrews 10:25, necessitates a place to come together. Now, you can come together anywhere, but I know that in Acts chapter 20 and then verse 7 of the context, that they met in a room. How do we know that? We were told that there was lights. We were told that there was a window, because what happened with that window? Eutychus fell out the window. And so, yes, it does authorize, but many today have added both teaching and practices which are not found written on the pages of inspiration. And the blanks below provide some examples of teaching and practices folks have added to the Word of God. What'd you put on there? Somebody on this side over here don't hear from often. What'd you put in those blanks? Some things, whether it be a teaching or a practice, that someone has added to God's Word. Musical instruments, you don't. Okay, that is true. But because I asked the question that way, you've got to qualify. If I say some things folks have added that you don't read about in God's Word, technically that won't be so. Why? Now hold on, I know what you mean by that, and you're right in what you mean by that. But why? Because you do read about it in the Old Testament. So you've got to qualify that folks have added this side of the cross to what God expects to do in the New Testament to the worship, mechanical, instrumental music. Again, in 2 Chronicles 26, it was commanded by God. What else would you put? Does that make sense why you'd have to qualify that? I know what you mean by that. Fundraisers to make money. You don't read about that, do you? We have one way authorized to raise funds, which is lay by in store on the first day of the week. So the next time someone asks you, you know, I've noticed, because I was asked this just this past year, I noticed all these other places mark off their parking lot for parking during the chicken festival and charge, and you guys don't do that. Well, I'm glad you noticed. There's a reason why we don't do that. We could make a lot of money. But why don't we do that? 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2 tells us how to raise the funds and when to do it. When, on the first day of the week, and how, give it, lay by in stores. God has prospered you.
And
have
to be 2 Corinthians 9 says.
Yeah. Is it purposed in your heart? Anyone else want to share what you put in one of those blanks, Bernice?
Well, not necessarily what I put in my blank, but in my studies, I looked at Colossians 3:17. Everything we go to do must be authorized.
That's right.
So when we want to do something or consider doing something, we need to look in Scripture to find where God authorized it.
That's right.
So I found, let go.
I think when it's Christmas.
That's right.
Christmas is not found.
No, yeah,
way.
That's right.
Now, there's women preachers being called reverent around homosexuals to worship.
Good.
Certainly condemned in the Bible.
That's right. And all of those are good answers. Anything, remember last Sunday's sermon? Anything that is contrary to the Word of God is a
sin.
Is a sin. What was last week's sermon? That's okay, I forget all the time. You just saw that a moment ago. Remember, it's a doctrine of doctrines of devils, 1 Timothy chapter 4. All right. God's Word is sufficient to the saving of the soul, James 1:21 and 2 Peter 1:3 and Jude verse 3. Before I move on, does everybody understand what I mean about this point? That is vital. God has instructed us what to do. And unless it's an aid that aids us in doing it, which is necessary, that's the point, like Sel pointed out, that's necessary in keeping the command, or to aid us in doing that. Because if you say, well, it's just anything, you're going to have people that come up with a list of things that they say, well, we've got to carry the command, and it helps us carry the command. All right, number 30, last point, which means we'll have next week, I think, we still have one more Sunday, to look at something else. Revelation 22:19. So he says in verse 18, if any man shall add unto the words of the book this prophecy, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written therein. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life. You might want to underscore that. And make a notation of other places in the Bible where the Bible talks about the book of life. It's not the first time in the book of Revelation. It's not the first time in the Bible. And out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. When he says, by the way, shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book, what things? I mentioned one to you. All right, from Revelation 20, he talks about the second death. What things did he mention through the book that would lead him to say in the closing stanza of the book, if you add, then these things are going to be added unto you. What things? When he says God shall add unto him, and that would be to the one that adds to the words of the book that prophecy, what things is he talking about God would add to him, to the one that would add to the... Yeah, he talks about what he said, the plagues that are written in this book. And so what did he... Just think about the recipients of the book of Revelation in the first century, what all things God said to them that was a result of not keeping his word. I mean, you've got chapters 2 and 3 specifically that talks about... candlestick removed. All the things that are contained in that, specifically the plagues that are written therein. And when the rubber meets the road, eternal separation from God. But on the flip side of that, not only the prohibition of adding, if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, and he mentions three things specifically that God would remove him from: out of the book of life, out of the holy city. And that holy city that he's talking about was pictured as what? Ray just spoke on that a couple weeks ago or so. Yeah, this, the Jerusalem coming out of heaven, which is really just a picture to show what? Yeah, that we'll be with God for all eternity when life is over. And that we can be in that beautiful city that he describes if we obey the gospel and live faithful. That's the whole point about that. By the way, in the book of Revelation, sometimes it's general principles, general things that are stated that if we're not careful, it's very easy in a book like the book of Revelation, the book of Zechariah or Ezekiel, to miss the forest because we're trying to see the trees, and that's not the purpose of it necessarily. Out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Think about the blessings in the book of Revelation. I like teaching about the Beatitudes from the Sermon on the Mount. And I've got a sermon that I've done a number of times on the Beatitudes of Revelation. Blessed is he that hath part in the first resurrection. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, that they may rest from their labors and the works do follow them. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life. So all those blessings in the book. Did you know there is a book of life? Most of us, if not all of us, did know that. Philippians 4:3, and I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also. By the way, can there be female laborers? It makes a good study about women workers in the New Testament or even in the Bible. People who, but specifically those who labor, that is, they helped in the gospel, with Clement also, with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Book of life is mentioned 7 times in the final book of the Bible, and I've got those passages for you. Moses made mention of this book when he said, "Yet now if thou wilt forgive their sin, if not blot me, I pray thee out of thy book, which thou hast written." Exodus 32 and then verse 32. And the context of that was Moses was willing to be blotted out of God's book on behalf of the people because they had sinned in doing what? In making the calf. And God said the people had sinned. Moses said, blot me out. And that teaches us what? Not only does it teach us that there is a book that God has written, but it teaches us what? A very, very important point. Okay, that's a very important point. That you can be lost. You can be in that book and then blotted out of that book. So you can be written in the book, which is to be right in the sight of God, and then God blots you out of the book. Both Exodus 32 and Revelation 22, both of those passages teach that. But another very important point about that passage too, the fact that he said, blot me out, basically on behalf of the people, is that it's individual. Judgment will be individual, an individual affair. I can't stand in judgment on behalf of anybody. Now that doesn't mean that I won't give an account for what I have done towards people or failed to do. But I'll stand on my own 2 feet come to judgment day. You agree? Every one of us shall give an account of himself unto God. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 10 and Revelation 10, 14 verses 10 through 12. Were you aware that your name can be blotted out? Consider God's response to Moses in verse 33 of Exodus 32. And the Lord said unto Moses, whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. The fact that one's name once inscribed can be removed or blotted out of the book of life deals a death blow to the false teaching of once saved, always saved. Don't forget that. Then I ask the question, is your name written in that book? It can be through obedience to the gospel of Christ. The phrase, if any man, makes a good study. And I hope that you've enjoyed the 2 quarters that we've spent, nearly 2 full quarters, on this study. I've got the plan of salvation at the end of that. I want you to think about that. If you're here and you're not a Christian, you need to become one. And you'll have opportunity to do that. And if you decide right now, before the worship even begins, that you want to become a Christian, we'll take care of that just as quickly as possible can. In light of the fact that the baptistry is being worked on. But we'll get the job done, won't we? I appreciate you being our good study, and I've enjoyed being with you.